Mendra, let's start with some basics. Obviously, you guys just released your information sharing environment report to Congress. This annual report comes out every year. When you look through it, and there's, it's big. I mean, it's hundreds of pages. Right? It's a lot of good stuff in here. I've read through a majority of it. When you look at it, what do you say is some of the biggest accomplishments that the ISC made in 2009, as you know, detailed in the report to Congress?
Thank you, Jason, for coming here today, by the way. We've accomplished a lot across the different mission partners that make up the information sharing environment, federal, state, local, tribal. The biggest thing is the National Suspicious Activity Reporting Initiative. The NSI builds on what law enforcement and other agencies have been doing for many years, gathering information regarding behaviors and incidents that are indicative of criminal or terrorist activity. We've finished a evaluation environment over the last year, and we're and DOJ stood up a program management office, and we're scaling up our activities. It's particularly gratifying to see the impact, both in terms of initial anecdotal information that's coming back about impact on keeping our communities safer, as well as the counterterrorism mission, also enhancements to privacy and civil liberties as practiced by the front line. So that's particularly exciting. Another area that's also a big accomplishment is making progress on the so-called SBU, or sensitive but unclassified networks, and the interoperability of those. We've been focusing on the big four: FBI's Law Enforcement Online, DHS's Homeland Security Information Network, Intel Link, and the grant-funded RISNet, which is owned by the states. So we've made some incremental but material progress. Things like secure email now can go between those networks and several federal agencies. White Pages service, a shared service. The FBI is now sharing their virtual command center with the other networks. Coordinated help desk. So if somebody on the front line wants to get access to these networks and interoperate, now the help desk scripts actually work to help them out in those cases. We also did an online dialogue where we reached out to every one of the registered users across those four networks, asked them for input, used the IdeaScale tool and some of the open government techniques. That generated a lot of interest, enthusiasm, and it helped us in terms of getting a shared perspective on what we need to do going forward.
Let me ask you a quick follow-up on the SBU, because I think that's something that's been, if you will, a major challenge for government. It's, sensitive but unclassified, also for official use only, CUI it was called. I mean, I think it was something like 56 different labels for this type of information. When you say you have network interoperability, so we have four networks that are being shared, the information is now being shared among law enforcement agencies. Talk a little bit about what the accomplishment, a little more details about the accomplishment.
Sure. The way to think about this is the front line that we're serving. So the uniformed police officer, state, local, and tribal, Homeland Security, first responder, fire, EMS, public safety, federal folks that use these networks. What we've been able to accomplish is to generate greater degrees of interoperability across these. So if somebody comes in, if the law enforcement officer comes into FBI's LEO, they can now access information that's on RISNet. They can search for RISNet users and find individuals through the white pages. They can send secure email, knowing that email goes across an encrypted path. So there's a greater confidence in sharing information. Things like that, right? So those are material impacts on the front line, which is what we're focused on.
In the old way, for instance, if I was on RIS and you were on LEO, I would have had to send, we couldn't have shared information. I would have to, for lack of a better word, copy and paste it and send it to you through a secure email?
Yeah, exactly. For example, on the secure email, you didn't have assurances before that if you sent an email that it wouldn't go over the open Internet. Right now it goes over an encrypted path, so it's secure. So that's a difference.
And then the other thing I want to bring up, you talk about when you talk about accomplishments, the evaluation environment and DOJ as a program office, are those related or are those two separate things as related back to the NSI?
They're related, but there's an evolution there. So our business model here is to work with agencies, mission partners. So we've been working with the Department of Justice, Department of Homeland Security, several state and local organizations for years on the Suspicious Activity Reporting Initiative. The locus of activity has been the Department of Justice, Bureau of Justice Assistance. We formalized that now, and the Attorney General, I think it was back in February at the National Fusion Center Conference, announced the Suspicious Activity Reporting, National Suspicious Activity Reporting Initiative Program Office there that's now, the prime mover, the prime executive agent. Same thing with CUI. A couple of years ago, 2008, we worked with NARA to stand up the CUI office at NARA. So that's our model. We're an incubator, an innovator, working with mission partners, you know, bringing together different tools, governance, expertise, and then enabling the mission partners to carry forward.
You're giving me a little bit of a segue into the future plans, but we're going to have to get back to that in a little bit, because I still want to talk about the past just a little bit more.
No. Future.
Well, it's great. It's great to have the, you know, the idea of that incubator and moving it out. But, you know, when you look at the report and you highlighted some of the areas that you guys were some of the biggest accomplishments, when you look back, and I know you're fairly new, and we're going to obviously get into that as well, a little bit about your background, but when you look back, some of the areas that the ISC made the most progress or more progress than expected, and were in some areas that maybe less progress was made than maybe the ISC had hoped?
Sure. As you said, I've only been on the job for about a month, so it's a little bit tricky that way, but we talked about the National SAR Initiative, so there's a couple of aspects of that that are particularly gratifying and that I'm excited about. One is this idea that it's our policy that privacy policies are in this area should be no less comprehensive than the Information Sharing Environment, ISC privacy guidelines. We're actually seeing that in action now, where it's a race to the top, if you like, across the country. The different fusion centers are putting in place privacy policies. They're based and modeled on the work that we've done nationally that's been sponsored by in part through the ISC. And as that's getting implemented, we're seeing improvements in terms of how privacy, civil liberties issues are being treated. For example, some of the advocacy groups in this area have been praising our engagement model with them and our involvement of them, things like that. Some other areas where I want to highlight, I talked about the SBU interoperability. The NIEM, National Information Exchange Model, that's something that has been around for a while. This office has been a key supporter for the National Information Exchange Model. We're seeing broad-based adoption now across the government. It was reported a while back, you know, about the healthcare folks, right? The Office of the National Coordinator is adopting the NIEM process and framework as the basis for functional specifications for meaningful use of electronic health records. I mean, that's a mouthful, but it really comes back to sharing best practices. In many ways, I like to think about this as the distillation of best practices around information sharing coming out of the national security space. Those best practices are now being leveraged over in the healthcare space. That's good government in action. Really exciting.
In some ways, it's similar to what's going on around cybersecurity as well, where you see some of the best practices in the cybersecurity space now being moved into the .gov versus the .mil space. Is that same connection accurate?
So that's a great question. Yes, absolutely. What we're seeing here is, I mean, with the information sharing environment, our focus is on the movement of terrorism-related information across federal agencies with our state, local, and tribal partners, with the private sector as appropriate for the critical infrastructure, key resources, you know, and like that. But we're also seeing that our mission partners are looking for complete solutions. And broader than that, we're seeing and we're supporting this desire to share best practices. The enablers, if you like, that we've been driving the privacy, the information assurance, the standards and architecture. These are recognized across the government as best practices, and we're having different organizations, for example, the Marine Maritime Domain Awareness, Airspace Domain Awareness, those groups have been talking to us about leveraging some of our best practices. We talked about the healthcare example. Just one last thought on the NIEM. There's 12 agencies now that are talking about and committed to using the National Information Exchange Model in different aspects of their mission area. Pretty big, and it's realizing some of the original vision going back even to the Federal Enterprise Architecture Data Reference Model and some of those ideas, which I bet you reported on back in the day.
Oh, my heart warms when you talk about the DRM. Maybe in a future we'll talk about why it never got implemented. But
we're working it right now. We're working it, you know.
But I think that's out of your control now that you're over here at the ISC. It's interesting that one of the things that stands out about what you guys are doing, and you brought the term incubator, the idea that best practices are best practices. And whether you're sharing terrorist information or national security information or healthcare information or, you know, information about the environment or EPA, for instance, I think that's what we're seeing from a trend perspective. Where do you see this going? And I know we're going to talk future in a little bit, but it kind of fits in very well. Where do you see this going in terms of that best practices, that sharing? I mean, is there a kind of a want from other agencies saying, give us more, tell us what you're doing, let us come to your meetings that are not, you know, classified?
So in addition to, or as the program manager for the information sharing environment, I also co-chair the White House's Information Sharing and Access Interagency Policy Committee. The scope of that's a little bit broader than the scope of the information sharing environment, which is the focus on moving terrorism-related information. In that context, there is sharing of best practices, and then I think more broadly, yes, absolutely, there's a desire to share best practices, and we're doing that. I think, it's on our website. People do come and ask for information. We make ourselves available to provide that sort of support to the good government community. But it really is important that folks come back to, we are focused on the movement of terrorism information with the information sharing environment. That's our mission focus.
Let's talk about some of those specifics. Give us the status check or an update on the strategy and guidelines for controlled unclassified information, something you've talked a little bit about already.
That's right. We talked about controlled unclassified information in the context of the interoperability initiative across the different networks. This office had a key role in some of the initial work around CUI, controlled unclassified information. We worked with our partners to set up the Program Office for Controlled and Classified Information at NARA. There's been a lot of work that's been going forward, really sponsored out of NARA. Our activity now is more focused on oversight. Support is requested. A specific area that we're working on is helping with tagging standards for XML representation of CUI. You can see that coming out of some of our past work. But we really look to the CUI office at NARA to be the locus of activity.
However, in the report to Congress, it talks about a specific strategy. Is that something that NARA is working on separate from what the ISE is working on?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. This is, through the interagency process, there's an activity going forward that we're participating in based on the work that came out of the 2009 Homeland Security Secretary Napolitano and Attorney General released the report and recommendations on the Presidential Task Force. So that's going forward through the interagency process. And that's what the report's referring to.
Okay, so something to look out for maybe in a few months or in some time as it goes through the White House process.
Absolutely.
The other issue that came up very interesting was a proposed policy that would standardize the process for state, local, private sector access to classified information. I've heard over the years that's been a huge issue, not just getting the information to the state and local partners, but also getting someone to be cleared so they can have access. I know, again, probably going through the interagency process, but at least talk a little bit about what that policy would hopefully do more specifically and where we're at with it.
Well, you're right. Our state and local partners specifically have identified that the different policies, across our federal partners becomes an issue. When you look back at IRTPA, the Enabling Us Legislation for Us, Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act, it requires that we, the ISE, look to provide and facilitate the sharing of information across all levels of security. The federal government is committed to efficient, effective, and secure sharing of appropriate classified information, to further our joint homeland security counterterrorism mission with our state, local, private sector partners. So there's been a process underway to look at harmonizing policies to looking forward to, that coming to fruition. It's another one of these things to stay tuned for in terms of, working its way through the interagency process. But there's been some good work that's been happening to bring that together.
And to be clear, when we talk about harmonizing policies, are we talking about federal policies? So the law enforcement versus intel versus maybe DOD, or are we talking about state and local and federal policies? Can you give us any kind of more specifics about that?
Sure. This is federal policies. I mean, for example, right now we've got the HSDN, Homeland Security Data Network, out of DHS, which is a classified network, FBI Net, DOD CIPRNet, so multiple networks that can share this information. So the issue is, how do we make sure we're harmonizing the policies across those networks, the information assurance type policies, and that the handling of the classified information on the state, local, tribal, or private sector side is done in a uniform way where there is a recognition of adequate safeguards and reciprocity, things like that.
any kind of timetable you can give us, or is it, again, because it's an interagency process, it could be a week to a month to 17 years?
I think stay tuned.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. Now, we talked at the, earlier in the conversation a little bit about that. You've been here about a month at the as the program manager for the information sharing environment. So let's talk a little about future plans. There's a lot going on. There's the Information Sharing and Access and Interagency Policy Committee that you're co-chairman of. There's some human capital things that are going on around ensuring information sharing is part of performance reviews. Let's first start with your decision to come to the ISE, and then we'll move on to some of what you see kind of going forward. What made you want to come here and work in this environment?
Well, as we were talking about earlier, I've got a real passion for this mission space. Going back to when I first came into the Department of Justice, just about 5 years ago, in September it'll be 5 years. Prior to that, I wasn't in the public sector. Most of my career was out in California, in San Francisco, Silicon Valley, a little bit more technology, product, and service, focused a little bit more entrepreneurial. Van Hitch, the CIO at the Department of Justice, offered me the opportunity to come in to help with the law enforcement, counterterrorism, homeland security, information sharing mission. I remember how I felt on 9/11, wanted to be a part of the solution, so I came in, and it's been a thread through my career at Justice, at OMB, and now here. So I really see this as an arc and something that, the opportunity to make a difference and contribute on this mission, something I feel passionate about.
I think whenever you kind of move jobs, it's got to be like that same idea, because you had a pretty cool job at OMB doing the chief architect stuff. Now you're kind of still a chief architect, but I guess in a little bit of a different way, just so we're talking about something more specific. Let's talk about future plans. What do you hope to accomplish? What are some of your priorities maybe over the next, 6 or 9 months, over the next year?
A few things. In the annual report, and for those of you that haven't seen it yet out there in the listening audience, please go to www.ise.gov, www.iseinformationsharingenvironment.gov. Annual report's there. So we're talking about five things that really are what we're moving out on. Number one is strengthening governance, engagement, and alignment across ISE stakeholders. Really, it's about the mission partners. It's about getting them engaged and continuing that engagement and strengthening it and driving results for the front line. Number two is we're looking the administration has asked me to refresh the National Strategy for Information Sharing. The current national strategy dates back to 2007. It's a great document. It provides wonderful support for the good work that we're doing with the state, local, and tribal communities. We want to build on that, but we want to also sketch update it and sketch a target state, target and vision for the information sharing environment and the strategies for realizing it. Number three is we want to build capacity through increased emphasis on agency-based centers of excellence. So this goes back to the mission partners, and a key role that we have is to helping to clarify and helping to, align to be able to build that capacity. A great example of this is I was talking about the SBU networks. I had a coming in hypothesis that there was a lot of overlap in the registered users across those SBU networks. Because of the analysis we've done, we've discovered that, no, there's immaterial overlap between those networks. That helps clarify, what's the target audience, who's using those networks now, how do we build on that to get more usage and greater interoperability. So building capacity is a key idea. Number four is that we want to promote a culture of continuous improvement and innovation. Really, this comes back to being data-driven and how we manage the information sharing environment. And then lastly, when clarifying and deepen relationships with other government-wide organizations and leaders. For example, OMB is a key mission partner for us. Was at OMB for almost 3 years. We have a very strong relationship with OMB right now. I think we can take that to the next level.
Let me go through a couple of them because I'm interested. Let me start with the National Strategy for Information Sharing. Obviously, as you said, last one's 2007, so not that old, but at the same time, things change very quickly. Timetable, give us a sense of how that's going to be done in terms of the refresh. Obviously, something in your office, but I'm sure it's a community-wide effort.
Absolutely. It's a government-wide effort. We're going to get into this in earnest, just in the fall as we ramp into that after Labor Day and into the fall. We'll be working through the interagency process, obviously, but also we want to make sure we're engaging the front line. We're going to be using open government techniques building on what we did, for example, with the SBU networks where we did the dialogue with the users. So we want to make sure that we're soliciting input as broadly as possible from the users of the information sharing environment.
You're going to put this on a wiki and let everyone comment on it?
We're working through that right now. I think that there's a lot of best practices that we've learned over the last year and a half of open government activity, or some of it I've been involved in from my old job at OMB. So we're going to look across those, you know, those experiences to find out what's the most effective and efficient way to engage the front line.
Well, you know, you got to check out Rob Carey, the Navy CIO, actually developed a policy using a wiki, and his experience has been very good. So I think that's a good maybe precursor for others. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the capacity within the agency. You said centers of excellence. What are we talking about when we say centers of excellence? We know what it means from a shared services perspective for HR, FM, but when you talk about centers of excellence, give us an example. Do some already exist?
Oh, yeah. A great example is I was just out at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI's CJIS, Criminal Justice Information Services, a division out in Clarksburg, West Virginia. So I was just there last week. I had a day and a half of really wonderful briefings, learning a lot about what they're doing. They are, in essence, a private cloud for the law enforcement community across this country, providing law enforcement and identity services broadly. They're clearly a center of excellence. We talked earlier about the Bureau of Justice Assistance, where the National SAR Initiative PMO is located. DHS, several, the NEAM program offices over there, that's, you know, a joint with DOJ and the state and locals, but that's hosted there. DHS INA, that's where the locus of Fusion Center activity is. So there's a variety of these centers of excellence, as I like to think of them, across the government that are taking the lead on building out aspects of the information sharing environment. And they're all highlighted in the annual report. You can again find it at www.ise.gov.
I promise we'll link to it on our website as well to make things even easier. But when you talk about centers of excellence, where do you see new ones needed, or where do you see opportunities to develop new ones? Are there some centers that are good but not quite excellent, and you can kind of make that push to push into excellence?
Yeah, that's a good question. An example of an emerging center of excellence from the context of the information sharing environment is some of the work we're doing around in some of the work that DHS is doing around cargo screening, especially with a focus on nuclear cargo. It's talked about in the annual report. That's early stage work that we're catalyzing, supporting, right? So I think over time that's going to develop up. We have high expectations for that work. So there's an example.
All right. Good to something to look for. And finally, I want to talk about continuous improvement and innovation. We hear a lot about innovation throughout the government. That people have innovation contests and innovation schemes and innovation ideas. Where do you see your biggest opportunity to innovate for that continuous improvement within the information sharing environment?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it comes to standards-based innovation. Critical to how we're trying to build out the information sharing environment is standards on the interface. So all these different mission partners, federal, state, local, tribal, private sector, as they interconnect, and they can do it into a net-centric ISE through effective and robust interface standards. And the NSI is a great example of standards-based innovation. We have a NEAM-based functional standard encapsulates how do you share information in suspicious activity reports. Well, that functional standard is now being baked into products that industry, our partners in industry, are selling into the Fusion Center marketplace, right? And they're competing on analytics, they're competing on value-added features, not on the interface spec. That's standardized, so it's working.
In many ways, it seems to really focus on the same idea of you build a platform, a common platform, and people build to that platform versus, well, I can make it work. I just need this little piece of middleware. Oh, but on this over here, let me just tweak it a little bit, and all of a sudden you have a customized piece of software that, yeah, may work, but it's also a lot more expensive than you thought. That's the idea when you talk standards, when you talk about the innovation that you're hoping for.
Exactly. What we're building here is an information platform.
Very cool. All right. So can't let you go without asking a couple other things. The Information Sharing and Access Interagency Policy Committee, talk about the status of that. It's a separate role for you outside of as the program manager, but it's still part of that overall umbrella that you support. And then I want to definitely get on the human capital requirements, because I know there's two separate things here. So let's start with the Information Sharing and Access and Interagency Policy Committee.
Key to our ability to build out the information sharing environment is strong support from the administration. That support's reflected in my role with the Information Sharing and Access Interagency Policy Committee. Through that organization, we set priorities. So, for example, programmatic guidance. Some of the priorities we've established their process include continued focus on building out a robust network of fusion centers with the state and locals, continued implementation of the National Suspicious Activity Reporting Initiative, establishing SBU network interoperability that we talked about earlier, improving governance of classified national security information programs, we talked about that earlier also, and advancing the implementation of CUI policy. So those are the different priorities that come out of that process, and that body serves as a governance process for the interagency.
So it's different than what you do as the program manager, because your role is really focused on the intelligence community and kind of being that conduit to develop standards and get things moving. This is more of an oversight body and maybe deals with, I don't know about budget, but at least policy issues?
It's the interagency policy body. So in my PM role, that's government-wide. It's across agencies. It's with the state and locals. It's with the intelligence community around terrorism information sharing. In the ISA IPC role, it's helping to shepherd the interagency process.
And is this committee focused on also Homeland Security terrorism information, or is it more widespread on just information sharing more generally?
It's broader scope for information sharing. It's information sharing to enhance national security and protect the American people.
And one of the other things that your office has worked on and the Office of National Director, the Office of the Director for National Intelligence has worked on, is the idea of putting information sharing into performance reviews of senior managers. Is that something your office is a part of? I know you probably have those in your performance reviews, but are you in part of that human capital effort? Are you guys also playing a big role in ensuring that it takes place, that it's moving forward, that it gets advanced?
Yes, that's one of the successes that's actually highlighted in the annual report. We've worked in partnership with OPM to promulgate policies and to see those implemented across ISE mission partners. So that's, and there's more information about that in the annual report.
One of the interesting things is how do you measure performance in terms of information sharing? Have you found that agencies are getting a pretty good handle on it? Is it something that's tricky and people just still are kind of trying to grasp? What kind of sense are you getting that's in the community?
Performance management, especially when you're looking at crosscuts, is a really hard issue. And it's one that we're focused on. So, through the discussion, you've heard me talk about different end-to-end mission processes, right, where they're shared across different mission partners. So key focus for us is having meaningful but simple and reliable performance measures, like the number of users or how much repeat usage do you get on an SBU network, that's defined and the data is collected in a way that you can look at it across networks, so you can come up into rolled up figures and do some sort of effective analysis and use the data as a management tool. So that's a key focus for us.
Can you tell people are pretty comfortable with having that as part of their performance reviews? Anytime you change, I'm going to be graded on what, you get that kind of initial either trepidation or just total pushback. But is in this sense, are people kind of comfortable with what they're being asked to do?
Well, I was just talking about performance management from an organizational perspective. So the sense that we get, the feedback we get on individual performance measures is that, no, folks want to share. They want to be a part of the solution. They want to be incented to do the right thing. So I think that's we're getting no pushback that I'm aware of in that area.
We talked a lot about future plans. We talked a lot about what you accomplished in 2009 and some of the changes that you hope to see over the next year or so. One thing that definitely changed the information sharing environment and the information sharing community is the kind of the aftermath, if you will, of the December 25th attempted terrorist attack. I know, again, you've only been in this position for about a month, but what are you seeing or what have you seen as some of the changes that the information sharing environment has gone through since that attempted terrorist attack?
Yeah, that's a great question. Traditionally, the information sharing environment and this office, the PMISC, has been focused primarily on sharing information with the state, local, tribal community, with the federal government, but with a real strong state, local focus. Coming in, the administration has asked me to open the aperture, to look at the totality of terrorism information sharing, and to make sure that we're effectively addressing that. So that is something that going forward will be a focus of the office.
And I imagine part of that national strategy that you're refreshing as well?
Absolutely.
And finally, can't let you go, you guys launched a new website. It seems like something that's happening quite often. Again, it feels like 1998 all over. Everyone's got a new website. Talk a little bit about how this website's maybe just a little different. What should people expect out of it? And, of course, where can they find it again? Give us that address.
Sure, the address. It's www.iseinformationsharingenvironment, ise.gov. Yes, we did launch a new website, and I'm particularly happy with it because we're telling the information sharing story from the perspective of our mission partners. At the end of the day, it's the ISE is realized by investments our mission partners make, and is made relevant by use by the front line. The website is trying to tell that story.
And are you going to blog on it? I mean, that's the question everyone wants to know. Who's going to blog in the government? Are you going to join that crowd?
I am. I actually put my first blog post on the site to talk about my visit out to Clarksburg, West Virginia, to visit the FBI CJIS division. But we're going to really focus on getting our mission partners to use this. There's an idea called guest blogging. Well, most of the blog entries are going to be guest blogs from our different mission partners, and hopefully over time from the front line also, kind of reflections from the front line.